Thank you, worship team, for leading us. I always appreciate the talent that God has given people to lead us in worship, and so thank you for doing that and being part of our community here. I have a question for you. Have you ever been sold a bad set of goods? Okay, there's a few nods. Okay. It's very easy in today's world to buy something online and thinking it was something different. A few years ago, when my friend's family, they were very much into soccer, and they wanted to buy their children World Cup soccer balls. So she began searching on the internet, and she found a great deal, a collection of soccer balls used in various cup matches. There they are. And she was excited. It was a perfect gift, and she ordered them quickly for all of her children who all played soccer. She thought, what a great gift to give my kids. And as she eagerly awaited for this gift to arrive from China, she spent time deciding which child would get the ball. Maybe she'd have a soccer match, and the kids get to choose the winners, and maybe a draw. And she waited, and she waited, and she waited. And it wasn't like a few years back. It was a few years back, and it wasn't like the Amazon with the smiley trucks were just around the corner, because it took a while. Finally, the day arrived, and the packages arrived, and they were delivered. And she was expecting a large box full of all these different soccer balls, and it came in a much smaller box. She thought, well, maybe they're deflated, and I have to inflate them all, so that's why they packed them, because they are coming from China, after all. And upon surprise opening the box, she saw these. Yes, that's the size of a shoebox. Little tiny soccer balls, miniature soccer balls. She was expecting the real thing. In her haste to purchase, she didn't read the fine print, the details. Her expectations were dashed quickly. She was sold a bill of goods. It wasn't intentional on the sellers, it was her mistake on the buyers. But let me ask you something. Has this ever happened to you? You bought or entered into an agreement or have told that you did one thing, you would end out a certain way. I must confess it happens to me all the time, too many to mention in my errors. But what do you do when you expect something different than what we receive? Let me drill down a bit deeper, get you thinking. How about when our expectation from God is something and it comes back different than we thought it would be? How do we respond to God in that situation? I mean, it's easy to blame someone if they sell you a bill of goods that's not what it's supposed to be advertised and it's not what they said it was going to be. We can tell our friends a raw deal we've been received from this person. We can go to social media and we can complain. And believe me, when you look on social media, there's a lot of complaints there. We can shout it from the rooftops to say we've been harmed. After all, reputation is vital in today's world. And if we're wronged, is it our job to tell everyone else that we've been wronged? Look at social media. It happens all the time. But what do we do when our expectations of God are different than what happens? How are we to respond in that situation? Folks, we're continuing in our series looking in the book of Ruth. And last week I left you with the phrase, God uses the ordinary to reveal the extraordinary. Unmet expectations are the ordinary things of life. Today, as we continue to look in the first chapter of Ruth, we'll find something. And there's a gap between the ordinary and the extraordinary, and I call it pain. There is sorrow. Naomi changes her name to suit her disposition. And yet, in the end, we see the whole story. We see in the end that God will come through, but this morning, we're going to look at Scripture's description of the in-between between hope and despair to promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we look into your word, will you illuminate your word for us? May you speak to us directly, each one of us in this room. Lord, I don't know everyone's situation. I don't know what they came this morning. where they're struggling with something, or they're facing a challenge that is insurmountable in their eyes. Lord, give them the strength to rely totally on you. And Lord, as we look at this time between the gap between expectation and fulfillment, and that pain comes, give us the wisdom to understand, to give it all to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we all come to life with expectations. At one time or another, we have expectations dashed or come crashing down. I know I've experienced this for certain over the last 2 years, and too many to count. And I know these are common for everyone because I've heard these phrases. Here's some of the expectations of people who've come into my office over the years of ministry, and they say these things. And maybe you can relate. Thinking of children. They say, I thought if I raised my kids right, teaching the way of walking with God, they would turn out dot, dot, dot. They fill in the blanks. I'd always listen to the grieving parent and say, in this time of grief, let me grieve with you and let me pray with you so that we have strength to know that God's not done yet with the story. And we wait. I recently talked with a mother who saw her delight when her son, who's now in his 60s, who walked away from the Lord in his teenage years and had a passion for the Lord in his teenage years, walked away. And in his 60s, he now comes back to the Lord. And she said, if only my husband was here to see the change, he would be amazed, because we prayed for it day after day. But one day we'll be united. Another one, marriage. I thought if I followed all the rules of living, found a good Christian partner, then things will go smoothly. If everything works out as God told me to do, I'm now facing a fractured marriage, and it's not what I planned or expected. God works things out. What about ministry? I often work with pastors and young pastors, and I love to mentor young pastors and talk with them, and I often hear this message, and I've dealt with it as well. How does the calling of God to be in ministry fit while I'm sitting here working in this job to pay the bills? Pain in the midst of promise. I often hear this from people. I thought God would give me blank, 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 blank. Fill in the blank. Many different requests have been filled with blanks because we all come to God with requests and expectation. He asks us to come to him, ask for things. And yet we deal in that time of the ordinary to the extraordinary. The question remains is, how are we to deal with disappointments in life? In the first chapter, Ruth, we're going to see a great disappointment. And it's going to give a picture, a real life situation that we can hold on to in these times. This past week, as I was sitting down to write this and listening to God, what I need to say, Facebook memory popped up on the screen. I guess social media does have a purpose sometime. Here's what popped up. 4 years ago, Heather and I sat in a mini studio in our home we had to create to celebrate Easter in a totally different environment than any other Easter I've ever experienced in 2020. We had asked people from our church to drop by earlier in the week because we couldn't meet together. And drop by in front of our house, we put a bunch of packages and everyone came. Some people we saw, some people came and left. They picked up this package that we were going to do on Easter. We thought it would be great. We're not together for the short couple of weeks and we thought we'd do something different. It'd be fun, they said. Doing things different. A new adventure, we thought. Soon we'll be back together. In a couple of weeks, we thought. Expectations were dashed during that time. For many of you here this morning, it was no different. You can relate. COVID did a wonderful thing, but it was painful to go through. So how do we handle the gap between asking and God revealing what his plan is, especially when there's pain involved? So open your Bibles. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land, so a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. If you weren't here last week, let me give you a recap of what the story is. A simple recap so you kind of know. The people of God at this time are in a period of the judges because their lack of faith in God, they had walked away from Him, and they felt that God was disciplining them and His people in various ways through famine or the lack of protection from their enemies. And in this situation, the text we're looking on this morning focuses on this couple. An ordinary couple, and up to this point, were one of many. They weren't some special couple that we anticipated them coming. They were ordinary people. The scripture doesn't even give us a long genealogy of bringing them up to that point, other than where they were from and their family, tribe. We can assume they were just ordinary Israelites, one of the many. As you read through scripture, you'll often see repeating themes come through, and famine in the land is one of those themes. Often comes with a time of testing and or teaching. So the family makes a choice to move, to venture out to this new land because it wasn't working out in the land they were at. Expectation of God's provision was not being met in the land of their forefathers. Many believe that this famine in the land was the result of God's punishment for the lack of people in trust. So the people of God were warned for their failure in God would result in the land suffering. Deuteronomy says, however, if you obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all of His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Others hold on to the fact that because they're forsaking God, He turned them over to their enemies. Judges says, for when the Israelites planted crops, important now for the farmers out there, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. One thing was for certain, God's protection for the land at this time in the story was removed. Can we stop for a moment and talk about applying scripture directly to our lives? One of the dangers people have today is when they look at scripture, they directly say, this will happen to us. The correlation between our lives and the people of God in the stories. They feel if something is going wrong, God's protection for our lives has been removed, and it's something maybe because of my lack of faith or it's something I've done, and they blame themselves. Now, in some cases, this is true, but in most cases, God isn't a God that comes down hard on you because of choices you've made. God is a gracious God. But sometimes those events just happen. For some of the things we do, they fall into this category, but not all. So don't look at the scripture and say, if something's going wrong, it's because of me. Maybe God's saying, I want you to trust me more in this time. Maybe there's a trial that you're currently facing, and God is using that in your life to draw you closer to Him, to trust Him more. Because it's not an act of an angry God that some people think, who goes about punishing you. That's not the God I serve. His desire is to bring that trial you're facing today and bring you through it all so that you can look back and love Him more. Because I've been through it. And in those times of that pain, you wonder, how are you going to make it through? But then as you go in life, you look back and say, wow, God used the ordinary for extraordinary. And this couple had just done that. They headed to see what to be better ground to land that seemed to be blessing. They seemed to be God's blessing, the Moabites. We're going to go over there. We're going to go to the other side of the country. You know the phrase, grass is greener on the other side? It's always greener because there's more manure over there. I drove to Calgary this week and someone was spraying manure on the fields. They don't do that in BC. I was reminded, oh, the smell, it's lovely. Not. But the Moabs, nonetheless, the country that the people God despised, God's chosen people despised them. I wondered, I thought to myself, was Naomi in favor of this move? Or was her husband just saying, okay, we're going to go? Scripture doesn't say if she didn't like it or he didn't like it. It didn't say if it was her decision, his decision. It surely wasn't the decision of the boys, but off they went. So I have a question, another question for you. Have you ever made a decision that after you make it, you look back and regret it? Oh, you too. I did one time. I call it a million-dollar experience I wouldn't pay a penny for. We know as we read this story, Naomi felt that after the calamity hit her household, that God had dealt bitterly against her. She changed her name. What is your tendency when you face a trial in your life? Do you turn bitter? I mean, when you're in the midst of the trial, how are we to respond as believers? If you haven't had a trial yet, hang on, they may be coming. I hope they don't, but they may be coming. Especially if that trial is bringing about great pain, how do we in that moment see the hand of God working in our lives? I know some, when faced with a trial or disappointment, begin to blame God for not stepping up to the plate. Their expectation is such, and if God would only have done this. Look at Mary in the New Testament. When Jesus approached her after her brother had died, she exclaimed, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Folks, in the midst of pain, in the midst of our grief, Jesus never corrected her. That moment she's feeling, my brother has lost him. Jesus, you're the healer. If you had come, life would have been different. In that moment of struggling and the questioning with the why, Jesus never stated to Mary, all things work out for good. Just wait. She never said to Mary, you have lack of faith in me. What is often overlooked in that story, in that time of grief that Mary and Martha were dealing with, in that time of pain, he was so much overwhelmed with compassion and emotion, he stopped. Knowing what just was around the corner, he stopped and took time to weep and grieve with these two sisters. Folks, when we're in a moment of grief or pain and trial in our life, especially if the situation is difficult, there is a time of grief. We can live in that moment of grief and hope. It's not one or the other, but both. I've learned this principle from my loving wife, Heather, who over the last couple of years has studied and gained a greater understanding of how to deal with grief. Because the journey is never, never over. And Naomi gave us a picture of her life. This couple, with all their hopes and their dreams and their new life, took a short, what their mind was, short extended trip to a foreign land to gain some experience and sustenance for their family. They sojourned, as the Bible said. The words, it's a lack of permanence. They didn't plan to stay there. Their intention was short term. This quite possibly could have been in their mind to fix the problem of famine and we'll just go there for a little while and come back. But the unimaginable happens to this family. The father dies. The widow is left in a foreign country to grieve, not able to fend for herself. Her two boys have now were of legal age and able to marry, and they too are grieving. Life may have looked better for Naomi at that time because there's new hope. The boys get married. There's a new perspective. She's going to be taken care of. Now her boys are married. Then her sons die. Not just one, but both. The family was growing, and although we learned last week, growth in marriage without children brings upon grief. And it hit Naomi right between the eyes. If anyone had reason to doubt God, it was her. If anyone had reason to feel the pain that she was experiencing, Naomi had the corner market. She moved her family to a foreign land. Her husband is gone. Her sons are gone. Now she's responsible for two women's way of supporting herself has gone, let alone the two other women that are coming with her. And to understand the full extent of the pain she was feeling inside and having the loyalty of Ruth along with her, as we learned last week, she returns home because she hears God is over there. Can you imagine the coming home? Have you ever been away from home and you come back? The familiarity of the places, the shops, the people would have renewed her spirits. But has it? Look at verse 20. "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." Mara. The very phrase used by Job as he sat suffering in his pain. Upon arriving in this old familiar town she had left, she was not the person that she knew when she left. She had changed. People noticed that. No amount of oil of Olay could have helped this lady. People saw the difference. She was hiding. She was not hiding what was on the inside. On the outside, you could see it. People questioned it. Changed through the trials of life. Changed in her outlook towards God and control over life. Things had changed. Some would describe this new name given to her not by God, realize. She said, "That's what I am." She adopted this name, Mara. "As surely as God lives, who denies me justice, the Almighty who has made my life bitter," she says. One person wrote, "The reason for changing her name, that God had made her life very bitter, the name that God used in the verses, the Almighty, was the name of the God who patriarchs knew before revealing himself to Moses. Naomi's concept of the sovereignty of God caused her attributes, her ill fortune, to him, not to change or to other gods. She did not mean, but she acknowledged God was in control. Pain in the hand of God. The title for this sermon. Can we live in pain, walk through life with disappointment, yet still remain faithful to God? Yes. This woman had left the town so many years ago with a name that meant pleasant. And now she returns and finds herself in God's plan with the acceptance of his sovereign will. But she had changed her name. She left the town so many years ago to find the possibility of hope without reliance on God. She left full with a husband and returned with two sons, and turned without two sons. And she comes back, as she describes it, empty. What I also see in this passage is Ruth's take on the pain of life. After all, she's too experiencing pain. Ruth is standing right beside her when she hears all this. She has left the comfort of her home, her family, her upbringing. She too has lost a husband. We sometimes forget that. Unlike Naomi, she doesn't have any children, though. She finds herself in this new land with many new people looking at her with condemnation. Do you know what they called her? Ruth the Moabite. And yet she chose to be loyal to God. Someone said it this way: this is undoubtedly the turning point in Ruth's life. But she brought it along a path with suffering and disappointment and grief. And in her way, she meets God when she is at the end of her tether and is prepared to venture everything for her future is on him. Whatever the past or present experience, the moment that change always comes at the point when we are prepared to stop fighting God and start trusting him. To stop going it alone and start giving it to God, to determine never to go back. You see, the chapter begins with a focus on a family of four and ends with a family of two who have two different outlooks on life and they're walked with God. So how do we walk with pain in our life? How do you walk with pain in your life? What is the response, what should be our response with disappointment and setbacks? How are we living in that moment of in the between the ordinary and the extraordinary? See, Naomi in the first two chapters took one route. She lived in a moment when she had decided to change her name. Her outlook was Mara. God has brought this upon me, and I shall live in this world for now and forevermore. She saw that moment of pain and decided to stay there. Or we look at Ruth. She was living in that pain. She was living in the trials of life. And yet she gave total acceptance, total commitment to God of her mother-in-law, whom she loved. She saw the grief. She heard that God was apparently bringing misfortune upon her mother-in-law, and she stood and chose to stay, expecting the extraordinary. Had the circumstance changed for either of them? No. Do you live the ordinary life and rely on an extraordinary God? In the next couple of weeks, as we continue in Ruth, we will see the God of this extraordinary world and work in full display as we hear this story of these two women. It is in the hope that we bring, that we take comfort, that God is in the business of taking the ordinary lives that we have. And like you and me, watch the extraordinary happen. And in the in-between time, there's a moment of pain. We know it's there. We live with it. And we look forward to the day we look back and see, God, you're the God of the extraordinary. As the worship team makes their way to the stage to remind us through a song of how we can live in this middle time. It's because of the living hope we have in Christ to give us strength while we walk through difficult times. And in those difficult times of pain, we see the hand of God. This morning, as the prayer team comes forward to pray with me, to be up at the front, may I encourage you, if you need prayer for you or for someone, or you want us to pray with you, come. Feel free to come during the song or after the song. We have people here that will be willing to pray with you. Now let's stand and sing about the living hope that Christ, who came for us, died for us, and now lives and is in our hope.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.